So my talk was based around the identification of cells in the bone marrow of patients that have no evidence of disease for over 5 years. So these cells supposedly are dormant for that period of time. And so what we want to do is characterize those cells and look at their molecular signature and compare those cells to cells that are actually in patients who have recurred to determine what is keeping these cells in a dormant state.
So you are assuming, are you, or have you actually measured that there are these dormant cells in prostate cancer patients who seem to be fine?
Certainly. So we have over the years looked at quite a few hundred patients. We've looked at patients at time of radical prostatectomy and taken bone marrows from these patients and shown that about 60% or so of these patients actually have disseminated tumor cells in their bone marrow at time of radical prostatectomy. So you're removing, the surgeon is removing the prostate to get rid of the cancer, but we know that there are actually cells present in the bone marrow at that time in those patients. We also have looked at patients who, after radical prostatectomy, after they've had that primary removed, 5 up to 10, 15 years later, also, if you go to their bone marrow and see if you can see any cells, that there are in fact disseminated tumor cells in there. So we know there are cells present in the bone marrow, and we know that they haven't produced a metastasis. So those cells could be considered either as dormant or indeed as senescent. However, in many cases, from patients who have had their cells removed at radical, we find that they do progress later, suggesting some of these cells have the ability to produce a metastasis.
And what proportion of patients do go on to relapse if they've had their prostate gland removed and they seem free of metastatic disease at that time of prostatectomy?
Well, that will depend, of course, upon the time frame. So most patients will recur within a two-year period, and then as you stretch out time, less and less patients recur. So the problem with answering that question is that it depends on the surgery. In some cases, patients will arrive and they will have extracapsular extension, so the tumor may have already left the primary at time of radical. In some cases, the radical prostatectomy has a very low Gleason grade, so aggressiveness of as such. So really the question is for a particular grade or a particular stage at which the patient has the prostate removed, what is the recurrence rate for that? And you can give an average of about 15% of patients recurring, but really it breaks down into how aggressive the disease is in the patient at the time of radical.
And does anyone know how aggressive it is at that time?
So based upon Gleason grade, based upon seminal vesicle invasion, based upon extracapsular extension, age of patient, etc., we call this the Parton tables in prostate cancer, they can estimate the aggressiveness of the tumour.
Now, we've been hearing that tumour cells escape through the blood system. So what is the significance of cells actually breaking through the capsule?
Well, if you look at patients, one study has shown very clearly that if you look at patients who have had a radical prostatectomy and 5 years later they still have no evidence of disease, but between 5 years and 10 years out, the patients who recur are generally patients who have either had extracapsular extension or seminal vesicle invasion. And indeed, our data set independently shows that for patients who have at least a 6 months of no evidence of disease, i.e. they don't have any PSA in their bloodstream, we find indeed that patients that recur earlier after a certain length of time are indeed again patients who have extracapsular extension. Patients who do not have extracapsular extension can indeed recur, but usually it's at a later stage.
Why is it so important that if you break through the capsule, you're going to get invasive cancer, whereas the prostate has got blood vessels? Can't the cancer escape that way? Isn't that the more natural way for it to go?
Certainly. So what you're describing when you're describing extracapsular extension isn't so much that the cells are escaping the prostatic capsule and entering into the body through that mechanism. What you may be describing is actually a certain phenotype of the cell. So those cells that have the ability to break through the capsule, etc., may actually have a more migratory phenotype, and therefore certainly they may go through the vasculature, and going through the vasculature and having that more aggressive phenotype may allow them to actually seed more effectively and survive more effectively in the bone marrow or indeed in another visceral tissue while they remain dormant before they lead to eventual metastatic disease.
And does your research in any way suggest changes that should be made in the treatment of men?
No, currently no. I think we're really in our infancy. We have a lot more experimentation to do. We really have to look at both patient samples and indeed in models and get a better understanding of dormancy itself. I think this meeting shows very clearly that there needs to be more information so that we have a clearer picture of what we're defining as dormancy.
That was one of the most surprising things to me, listening to the discussion after the meeting. No agreement on what constitutes dormancy.
Yeah, well, I think part of the reason is because most of the molecular signatures, most of the knowledge that we have based around dormancy are based around experimental models. They're not based on patient samples. It's very difficult to go to a patient and ask them for a sample when they have no evidence of disease and go into that sample and try and find individual cells, small number of cells, and indeed to characterize those cells and to follow up those patients over long periods of time to see whether indeed those patients actually end up recurring, see whether your molecular signature is relevant or not. And so I think that is one of the major challenges, is to actually have clinical samples of dormant cells from patients, so that rather than using model systems to identify and perhaps profile and find molecular markers for dormancy, that you actually have patient samples where it is actually occurring and those markers may be more relevant.
But unless the study is started now, I know it would be a long-term study, but nothing will ever happen. Surely someone ought to just be asking these men when they have their prostates removed if they can have, you can take a bone marrow sample?
Certainly. Actually, we have in our group, and indeed one or two of the other groups that are here, we have been isolating cells from bone marrow samples for a long period of time. It requires buy-in from your oncologists. The oncologists have to be able to go to the patient and request that of them, and the patient has to be willing, of course, to take part in research. And it is ongoing in a number of institutions, but of course in diseases like prostate cancer, which is what I focus on, you know, your recurrences occur 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, or 9 or 10 years out. So you're right, you have to start now as such, or have done so in the past. So I think at least from our perspective, our group's perspective, we are coming to the culmination of that, in that we have been collecting samples over a number of years and we can actually characterize these samples and have the clinical follow-up, so we can reference the clinical follow-up to the molecular signatures we observe and therefore identify genes that may be and proteins that may be involved in the process.
And that's where changes in treatment can begin.
Yes, certainly. But as I said, we still don't have sufficient information to suggest a treatment. And even if we did have sufficient information, there may not be a treatment out there currently to actually approach this problem.
Lots more research needs to be done.
Yes, it's true.
Have you enjoyed the meeting?
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's great to see what everyone is doing. It's great to have different perspectives, and certainly it makes me look at my data again from a different perspective, and so I can go back to what I have and try and reanalyze it from a different perspective. But at the same time, there are a number of individuals I've met with who are interested in collaborating. So it will be good to see where we go from here.